Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. The Johnson County Board of Commissioners, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Greeno, the minutes were circulated from the April 9th meeting. Did you have any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
I did not. Move to approve.
Second. All those in favor of approving the amendments, please signify by saying
aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, Susan, come on up and let's talk about UREP.
Good morning, Commissioners. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good. Thank you so much for allowing us to join you today. I am Susan with Compass Center for Families. With me is Tiffany Reeser, the Director of Administration for Compass Center for Families. Before we get started with the ERAP, I just wanted to let the County Commissioners know that I am leaving Compass in July as the leader, the leadership role, the CEO role. I will be staying on as a project manager for Project Thrive, which will be running the ERAP program for three counties, Johnson, Sheridan, and Bighorn County. So I'll be staying on that way, but I'm taking on a statewide regional role for issues, causes, and concerns around poverty. So thank you for all of your support that you guys have given me throughout the years. Tiffany and Kasan will be taking that co-director role. So thank you. The reason we are here today is the state sent out an RFA for the ERAP 2 program, or the Emergency Rental Assistance Program 2. The CBOs, or community-based organizations, are the ones that were asked to apply for that. Compass did apply and was awarded $727,000 to take care of emergency rental assistance for three counties, including Johnson County. What's different this time is that the state of Wyoming is allowing the CBOs to now pay rent directly out of that funding. So most of that funding that Compass is receiving for that is direct pass-through funding to allow for deposits first and last month, to allow tenants to get into into residence immediately. Currently, it's taking anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks for the state of Wyoming to issue checks to landlords, and it's causing huge delays in our housing. Because that process has been slightly delayed, the state of Wyoming has issued two amendment opportunities to Johnson County. The first one expired April 30th. The second one that they just put out expires May 31st. Family Crisis Center, who is your current sub-grantee for that, has chosen not to continue providing the application assistance. We are requesting that Johnson County subcontract and move that contract to Compass Center for Families so we can continue the application assistance necessary for all of the applications that are coming through. Currently, Johnson County has had 62 applications that have been funded and awarded through the state of Wyoming, and that federal funding. This is a really low number compared to counties of similar size. For example, and I brought some numbers just so you guys know, but Sublette County, Platte County, Washakie, they're all around the 170, 150 applications that have been approved. Crook, 182. So there's really a low number of completed applications in Johnson County, and we believe that there are a lot more people who need assistance, and we are more positioned and aligned to be able to help families either obtain housing or maintain the current housing that they're in. The new application is going to allow intensive case management for the first time, which was never allowed before. So we are able to assist families through economic, education, asset building, financial literacy. All of these things now will be coming out of Compass at Johnson County. So there will be someone with them going along as their journey, as we keep them in their housing. We're all under a housing crisis right now, and we need to make sure that we're keeping families in the homes they have, because when they lose that housing, there is not a lot of inventory out there to move them into. So respectfully, we ask that you would continue the extension, the subgrantee extension, and remove Family Crisis Center from the subgrantee and move it to Compass until May 31st, at which time we will then take over the grant for Johnson County. Do you guys have any questions or anything that I can do to assist with that decision?
No, you knew this was coming.
Yeah, I thought you did. Wanted to put everything on the record.
So under this system, the state provides the assistance. Is that going to the individual, or does that go directly to the landlord?
So in all cases, it is preferred to go to the landlord. 79% of applications will go to the landlord. It is originally set up as a landlord stimulus package to make sure that they got caught up on all the back rent that was missed during the COVID era. However, should the landlord choose not to participate in the program and partner with their tenant, the tenant can be paid directly. And that's not very common, but it has happened. There are some reasons why a tenant or a landlord may choose not to partner with the state, and there, you know, I don't want to speculate on all of the reasons. Some of the reasons that we're hearing is that it takes too long for the state to get the money to them, and they don't want to be in a state system. They don't want to sign up and give all of their income information to the WOLF system to get paid directly. There are other ones that would like to not partner with the tenant so they can evict and move forward with a new tenant. So there's a lot of different reasons why that doesn't happen, but it's not super common. Most of our landlords in Sheridan County, we don't have experience in Johnson County yet, but most of our landlords in Sheridan County are very much more comfortable working with Compass instead of the state of Wyoming. We're a trusted partner on the ground. And so we're getting a lot of positive feedback from our landlords.
So at this point, I don't see a copy of the contract in our package.
I don't have it either. Okay. You hold the contract and then subgranted to Family Crisis Center for that funding. I believe you had sent out, you do all the reporting that the Family Crisis Center sends to you, so you guys are the main grantee for that.
Susan, does us approving Compass have to go through the state as well, or
just a notification that you're going to be using Compass as your? They're aware of it. They know that we're coming. They asked us to take it over because Family Crisis Center also told them that they are not interested in continuing in the grant. So the state is fully aware and ready for us to take over whenever you're ready. But you hold the contract. The state doesn't need, they don't care who you subcontracted out to. It's really for your paper trail and your tracking of how you would like that to go.
I'll get something put together then over the next day or two.
Okay.
Circulate it for signatures if you
approve. Okay.
Vicki, will that meet your threshold for auditors? And
I think so. Yes, sir.
Commissioner Greenwald, at this point, the decision is whether or not to subcontract with Compass for continuation of the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
There is a motion. I'll go ahead and second that for discussion. Is there any discussion or public comment on the Emergency Rental Assistance Program and contracting with Compass? Public comment. Hearing that, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Any further discussion, Commissioner Reno?
None.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
It was
a pleasure to work with you as well. Thank you all.
Looking forward to that new role. Thank you. It's like the next item, and I do not see the public health nurse.
No, she was unable to attend.
Okay. then we'll go ahead and proceed to amendments to the public health contract. So this is the contract between Wyoming Department of Health and Johnson County in the amount of $142,000. Mr. Crago, looks like Mr. Ruby has signed this, so.
Yeah, I think we actually both looked at it and he signed it.
Do you have any concerns with this contract from the State Department of Health?
No, sir.
Looks like this, in effect, June 18th of 2021 through July 30th of 2024. Commissioner Greeno, what's your pleasure?
Well, this is good news. We're getting $100,000 more for this grant. I move to approve.
There is a motion. We'll go ahead and second that. Any discussion? Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the amendment number 2 to the contract between the Wyoming Department of Health, Public Health Division, and Johnson County, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we do not have the museum director here, who was next on the agenda, so we'll just go ahead and move to Mr. Fox.
Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Bob Fox. I'm with Johnson County Solid Waste District. I'm here today to discuss with you guys our expansion of our new phases of the landfill and a possible increase in our budget for the fiscal year 22 due to some expenses that may be coming up here with this expansion that I guess we didn't see coming this quickly. So we put everything out to bid. Tomorrow, May 4th, we'll be awarding that bid. And right now, items 1 and 2 on your sheet there that you should have in front of you, we're going to be on the hook for sure before the end of the year. They're wanting to mobilize onto the on the property the 29th of May. That's weather permitting, of course. And the mobilization is $87,641.27, and the performance bond is the other part of it, $14,217.06. So that is a total of $101,858.33. That will definitely have to cover that cost. The second items, I guess, that would come up and. To kind of go back in history a little bit here, as we were putting this out to bid, we were getting information on the liner down there that, with the way things are today and the price of petroleum products, that we may be on the hook having to buy this thing because they were only allowing one-day bids, or the bid to be good for one day. And at this point, with what I know, I don't think we're going to be on the hook for this until they mobilize and come on, because the way the bids come in, nobody, we kind of put it out there for a rebid, depending on how long that contract will last with the liner companies. And you can see line item 9 through 13, and I'll just give you the total of what it would be. It's $769,512.20. So that's the majority of the cost of actually building the landfill. It's roughly half when it's all said and done, which will be going into our next fiscal year of 23 that I'm budgeting right now. Both of those total line items, 1, 2, and 9 through 13, it's $871,370.53 total that we may have to go on the budget. I know that's a long ways from what I budgeted at $572,000 for a whole operational budget of fiscal year 22. You know, the big part of this is timing. Like I say, the mobilization, the performance bond, if they get in May, they'll want to be paid in June. We're on a cash basis, so it hit our June bills, and that will push us over our budget. operationally. So, and then the rest of it, the liner, you know, at this point, the discussions we've had, and we'll have more information tomorrow after we award the bid, but there's no push for us to pay it up front right now at this moment. But anyway, we're asking for an increase in our budget. We have the reserves in place. We're actually, so with this expansion, we have $4.4 million, and that's what's going to be used to open up the landfill. And this bid, as it sits, this is there's no names on it yet because we haven't announced anything formally. But with everything, engineering costs and all, $1.89 million is what it's going to cost us to build those phases, which was a surprise. We were thinking it was going to be definitely well in the $2 million range, maybe closer to $3 million with the cost of fuel and whatnot nowadays. And we did have six contractors that did come in and bid this work from upwards of $3 million all the way down to this bid of $1.89 with the engineering fees in there and the quality control and whatnot that's set in it. So that's where we're at today. So we will be using reserves. Yeah. They have, to date, so our engineer's gone through and double-checked the numbers after all the bids were opened, and these numbers are exactly what they presented with us. They total, and also the contractor has committed verbally at this point, minus the award that will come tomorrow to them. That's where we're at today. Yeah.
So, going to defer to Barry, but under the Special District Budget Act, I would assume that they're just going to need to do a regular budget amendment to their state form. So could they do that at their regularly scheduled upcoming June budget hearing and just notice it, or are they going to need to go ahead and do a separate special meeting to go ahead and approve that transfer from their reserve to their operating?
Well, I don't think they need a special meeting, but they need to advertise the budget.
Yep.
They'll need to advertise that budget amendment separate from the advertisement for the budget hearing.
It has been advertised today with this meeting, this increase. Do I have to go back and re-advertise to the public? It has been. I just didn't have any numbers until last week. So I advertised 2 weeks in advance of this meeting, and I did not have any real numbers until...
Right, so we'll just have to... It'll be simple.
Okay.
Vicki and I'll have, she does them all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. I can help. We'll just need to advertise this for the budget amendment, which will be the actual number, moving the dollars from reserves to the expenditure account so that you can write the checks.
Okay.
We can do it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So, do you need a motion to authorize Derek to write the amendment?
No. Their board can act on that.
Okay.
I guess maybe the more philosophical question is just the amount that you guys are going to transfer over.
Well, I'm giving you two different numbers.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big number is 871, 370, 53. And I don't want to create a slush fund here because, you know, all of a sudden all we need to pay is the mobilization and the performance bond fee of $101,858.33. You know, so that's the real question. I mean, the whole reason why this is up in the air and we didn't even know how to approach this is because of the limited time that we have on the bid of the liner.
And that, as anybody that's trying to get materials right now, get that ordered as quickly as possible and just hope that it actually shows up.
That's a big part of it, too. Yes.
I would suggest you just do the small amount first.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we can go back and if we need to do another.
To do the other one. Okay. Yeah,
to do another amendment.
And this very
probably
well.
Probably aren't going to need it.
Yeah, we are falling into another budget very soon. And with a cash basis, our June bills fall into July. And this can all be remedied through the next fiscal year's budget based on approvals on that going forward. So,
And I think that's a conversation you can have with the contractor once the bid is awarded and accepted. You can say, here's what we're planning.
Yep. And that will happen. That conversation will happen.
We'll pay you this stuff in June most likely, but that is going to have to wait till our first payments in July.
In July. And that was the concern. What's that now? October, end of October. October 31st is with all weather permitting, of course, it could be sooner. But October 31st is our planned completion date. So, yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Oh yeah, there'll be a lot going on out there this year. So, yep. Okay. All good.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Before you go, Bob, were you guys successful in getting your compost turned?
Yes. $11,000 was the winning bid. And now I'm working on trying to get it home. So, yeah, we did. So we will be able to go forward with all that. So, yeah.
Well, I know people enjoy being able to go out there and get the compost.
Yeah.
So glad you'll be able to start making it again.
Yeah, continue on. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right, we'll drop back down. Sylvia, come on up and let's talk about your efforts with the Forest Service to preserve up on the Bighorn National Forest.
The fourth round of paperwork. It's like a never-ending story of paperwork. So it's the same agreement that you guys already signed for us, and I apologize for bringing this to your table again. The Forest Service did an internal audit, and they found that there was an inclusion of extra permissions that weren't applicable to this, and so that's why it's, again, being brought forward, is they pulled those out. It doesn't affect the financial support or the actual work itself or anything of that nature, but they wanted signature, I think it's round four. Possibly.
Refreshing, unfortunately, we have a four-page contract. Where's the
50 some hundred? So, yeah.
Must be the Paperwork Reduction Act. Barry, did you have a chance to look?
Yes. There's not much to look at. So.
No. The crux of the agreement is that the historical items, the collection from the Forest Service, are housed at the museum. We're processing them. They're contributing a little bit of money towards that effort, and I'm going to ask them for more. Apparently, the Forest Service has been getting some funding for kind of seasonal work, so there might be a little avenue there. And the collection itself, because it, originated within the federal government, needs to be publicly available as much as possible, which fits within our mission statement, too. So it's, other than, having to do paperwork multiple times, it's been a very painless kind of process and a lot of fun. I think we're maybe halfway through actually going through the items. Found a lot of duplicates, so those are all being piled up to be sent back to the Forest Service so they can figure out how to dispose of it. A lot of historic photographs, documents. We have some giant atlases that came in, everything from grazing records from like 1900 to some timber sale kind of stuff. So I think there's a great potential for a lot of research, and we've just been having fun going through pictures. For anybody who spends a lot of time in the Bighorns, there's some very recognizable places.
So is there a motion to approve the grant modification between the U.S. Forest Service and the Jim National Museum?
So
motion. I'll go ahead and second that. Is there any discussion or questions for Sylvia on the partnership with the Forest Service to store and house their collection of documents on the Bighorn National Forest? Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the amendment to the agreement, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, 1%. Good morning.
Just want us to dive in.
Well, make sure you introduce yourselves for the record.
Nick Baum with the 1% city appointee.
Travis Lawrence, 1% committee. City appointee, probably.
Something.
And darn fine guy.
All right, so do you guys just want us to go down and kind of give you a thought process on each item? Okay. So starting, I assume you have the same list I do, starting from the top, Compass Center for Families, they had asked $25,000 from the county, and we awarded them the full request. They serve a lot of a need in the county, and it feels like that they are pretty financially responsible with their funds from what we've seen from year to year. Johnson County Feeding Friends, this was, I believe, a new entity request this year that we hadn't seen before, but the request was very, you know, minimal, and it was basically for some equipment shelving to help with their food gathering. So we approved that request of $1,443. Children's Center, there was no county ask. Sheridan College, county ask was $27,500. We awarded $19,781, or our recommendation was that. The only conversation on that, for what it's worth for you guys, was just the thought process of how that's funded. There was some conversation with the committee that we would prefer almost a little more transparency in terms of, you know, the college rents from the Joint Powers Board. But then essentially this is coming back and funding that. So in some ways we thought it might be more transparent if maybe that additional funding went to the Joint Powers Board and that rent was a different situation. But nonetheless, that was our recommendation, just under $20,000 for funding that on the county side. Boys and Girls Club requested $30,000. We recommended $15,000 on that. Buffalo Golf Course, upgrading irrigation system, which actually they're projecting should cut water use quite a bit. Requested $20,000. We recommended approval of $15,000. YMCA for repairs and maintenance, snow removal, playground expansion, had requested $20,000 from the county. We recommended $15,000. St. Francis Animal Shelter had two separate requests, vaccines, which we did not recommend funding, just from a budget standpoint. And then the half-price spay-and-neuter program that we always support, we recommended funding in full of $12,000. Buffalo Youth Baseball had requested $4,000 from the county for travel bus, tees, baseball equipment. The committee felt like that was a little bit of a slippery slope precedent to start funding some of that those equipment items. If it's a request for a county facility, city facility, then that's maybe something different, but we didn't feel like that was something that we wanted to open the door to, so we recommended not funding that request. KC Health Forum, purchase of a passenger van, we recommended full funding on that. They operate on a pretty slim budget and obviously serve a good need. Hoofprints of the Past, another entity that's been extremely frugal and had a modest request for foundation repairs and improvements, so we recommended full funding of $6,500. Johnson County Tourism, so they've taken over the visitor center at this point on a, you know, temporary basis. Who knows what will happen going forward. They'd requested $15,275 to help fund that from the county, and we recommended full funding of that facility. Next three, there was no county request, or I think maybe they're covered under your general budget request, was what we were told, at least on the alternative treatment and mentoring programs. So we didn't have anything there. And then the last one was the Family Crisis Center. They had requested $15,000. However, after they submitted their request, they were notified of some increased insurance expenses and other increased costs. So if it's possible, we actually recommended awarding $17,000 on that. And that covers it.
Looks like you have fully allocated the $165,000. You guys met over a one-day period. Is that working? You used the meeting room up here.
Yeah.
Is that satisfactory?
Yeah, I think with this number of requests, you know, it's fluctuated from year to year, but for this number, it was great. Yeah, and that worked well. Just have to train people to remember to go to the different spot than they've been used to going.
Or not come stumbling in here. And
right, yeah.
Think they've got to present there.
Yeah, just going straight to the top.
Yep. Commissioner Graham, do you have any questions for the 1% committee?
I do not, but thank you for working on this. It looks like it's just pretty well streamlined. The last couple of years, I know the first year split.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This didn't take you long at all. Pretty impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it went well. I mean, the entities, for the most part, we see them year after year, and so we're kind of used to what they're requesting now.
Thank you.
Any questions from the public or press for members of the 1% committee? Any questions? Commissioner Greeno, is there a motion to adopt the recommendations from the 1% committee?
There is. So moved.
Go ahead and second that. All those in favor of approving the allocations from the 1% committee, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Director, or if she wants to stay back there. Sure, we had advertised to help find your replacement, and
time to get a goose egg. Yes, so I'm here just asking for direction how you would like me to proceed with that. This is not a part-time position. The responsibilities and the things that we have coming up out there and the dam are going to take somebody there full-time. The new regulations for the shoreline are going to be time-consuming, and we will be doing some upgrades to both areas on the north dam, the inlet, and at the dam itself. And we really need somebody there to oversee this full time.
So your recommendation would be to rework the job description and advertise it as a full time job.
Absolutely.
Cheryl, you have submitted the budget for the Lake Dismet operating department.
Yes, it would have to be amended pretty dramatically. There you go. She's okay with it.
That's fine.
And that's something, you know, I can have a couple of conversations with Commissioner Greeno, and I think we can get that done by the end of the week pretty easily. I've been gathering information and have some ideas. So.
I'll just need it by the 15th of May, probably, so that I can get it to you guys.
Okay.
Right in that time frame.
So I'm looking at the calendar. Sure, when are you wanting to reopen this position? And then remind me again your last day before you get to be retired.
June 30th is my last day. I can start advertising it this afternoon or tomorrow if that. The job description and the ad needs your approval.
So if we reopen the position starting tomorrow, which would be the 4th, how long would you like to advertise that?
I've been kicking that around. Typically we advertise 2 weeks. I don't know because time is kind of the essence in this. If you want to, if we get some decent applicants right off the bat, if you want to go ahead and visit with applicants, I guess I leave that kind of up to your discretion since I won't be as heavily involved after the new fiscal year.
I think if we close it on the 18th, or do you want to close it on the 11th? Sugarino, what are your thoughts?
Let's try closing it on the 11th, and then if we need to extend it, we can do that if we don't get any applicants. I'm hoping that we will.
Okay, so Sheriff, we go ahead and close that 5 o'clock on the 11th. Same procedure. Applicants will send them to the operating department, and then hopefully we will have a qualified applicant.
Or two.
Yeah. It is an employee market out there. If you have a willingness to show up to work,
If we close it on the 11th, we won't be with the advertising paper, probably. I'll try and get that done. If I can't, do you want to close it on the 13th? That'll at least give it a little bit of time.
I think let's hold that until that Friday.
I'll call the paper as soon as I can and see if I can. Sometimes they have room to sneak them in.
So the plan will be to open the position tomorrow and close it on the 13th.
Okay. Do we need another motion for that?
Well, you'll address the salary through the budget.
So we can.
But let's just go ahead and move to waive the hiring freeze and replace the position at Lake Smith.
So moved.
Go ahead and second that. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. While we're here, any updates? Have you begun to fill the lake?
Yes, we opened the tunnel last week. For once, I was a little luckier in my timing to open the tunnel, and stream flow picked up pretty nicely. And with all this moisture, we took elevation yesterday and we're up about a third of a foot already. So stream flow is still pretty minimal. It's peaked at 70 CFS, and when it's, you know, typically at least we get on to 600 CFS at some point. When it's really ripping, it's about 1200, and astronomical is about 2000. So we're not running much water. Piney Creek is not running much water yet, but that high snow doesn't come off until in late May, early June, typically. So there's time.
Well, it sounds like there's more moisture in the forecast.
Yes, very nice moisture.
Any questions for the Lake Smith Operating Department? All right. Hearing none, go ahead and move on to awarding of the County Commissioner Scholarships. Fortunately, we did not have any applicants this year from KC or the New West High School, but I am pleased to announce that receiving Commissioner Scholarships will be Ms. Kaya Perringer and Ms. McKinley Hepp, with Connor Maddox as the alternate. And Mr. Calvin Rule is the recipient of the second year returning student scholarship. So is there a motion to approve the commissioner's scholarships?
So moved.
It's been moved. Second that. All those in favor of approving the commissioner's scholarships, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Jody, we'll have you go ahead and prepare the certificates and let Buffalo High School know so that we'll be ready to present those. All right, I'd like to welcome up our Road and Bridge Department to discuss our chip seal project.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As Bill said, I bring forth with you a cooperative agreement between the Wyoming Department of Transportation and Johnson County. Basically, what this is a chip seal project for Klondike Road and Upper Clear Creek. We were fortunate enough, this project was actually bid in February. And then YDOT went back. I asked to join on to the contract after it was bid. That YDOT went back, put back the contractor. They honored the prices that were bid, so we came out very, very well on this. Total, let me get to the number page. Construction costs are about $104,970. Some construction engineering in there, about $10,497. Total cost of the whole project would be about $428,168, which on those engineering costs, when YDOT does that for us, we never see. It's always a lot lower than that. So I was felt pretty fortunate to get in on this and move ahead with it. So I guess that is what I come forth today is to ask for the chairman to sign the contract between YDOT and Johnson County. Timeline is, they'll actually start the chip seal in District 4 in the first part of June. They'll start in Weston, Crook County, and they'll move this way. So ours is slated for about that third week of June, depending on weather and everything. Definitely be all finished up by middle of July at the very latest. So that's kind of where it's at. So, of course, I applied for some 1% money for funding on this, and then also there was some savings on the original project on Clear Creek, so the funding is, we budgeted that and so forth, so we should be set to go. So,
Barry, did you have a chance to review the contract? No systems.
Yeah, I read through our specific provisions. I did not get through all the general provisions that are in all the contracts.
And that's pretty common to the same one as we've done on all of our previous.
All of the contract specific provisions are what right to me.
So. Let's just off the map. So it'll be 1.85 miles on Upper Clear Creek and then 0.393 of Klondike. So you're pretty satisfied with this price, Scott?
Yes, very satisfied. With the cost of everything and petroleum products and stuff, I felt very fortunate to be able to get in on that contract, and then for them to honor that price is means a lot, because I'm sure you would be looking at double that. So I have a one that's the original you'll have to sign, and then there's one that's a copy that you'll have to sign too, which actually the one that's the copy will come back to us when all the signatures are completed.
Sir. Is there a motion to approve the chip seal project? A motion and a second. Bring us to the time. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the chip seal project for Clear Creek and Klondike, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Post cares.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We have upcoming couple vacancies. On the 30th of this month, Jillian Smith is going to go off the tourism board. We also have the vacancy on the Harold Gerard Park Board. That is Dave Straub's seat. Is there still also a unfilled seat?
For Harold Gerard Park?
Yes.
I don't believe so. I don't think so.
Okay, so that has been filled. So then we just have that upcoming. It looks like we have Mountain Place Heritage Park and also the seat that Rick Myers has on the KBGA board in June, and then you have your July vacancies for the Jim Gatchel Museum, two on the library board, and then two, one from the county for the 1% committee. So we need to begin to advertise those vacancies.
That was submitted yesterday to the papers. Will come out on Thursday.
Okay.
Mr. Abadi?
Yes.
You need to check on the youth camp. There's no end date, and that's supposed to be a four-year term, but there's no end date on any of those.
I will pull my youth camp file.
Thank you.
All right. So we will get that advertised and get those positions filled as they come up. So again, a reminder, we will have upcoming vacancies on the Tourism Board, Harold Gerard Park, KBJ, Mountain Plains Heritage, the museum, two seats on the library, and one seat on the 1% committee. All right. Any questions on the board vacancies? And of course, the UK. That brings us now to a stack of catering permits. So, Madam Clerk, looks like you have request from Taylor's Invasion Bar for June 4th at the fairgrounds for the Kirchhoff wedding. And one from, again, Taylor's Invasion Bar, June 25th at the fairgrounds for the Lund Seymour wedding. July 15th from Taylor's Invasion Bar at 2605 Willow Creek Road for the Cowboy Reunion. And looks like they're going to have a two-day soiree. So I've got a second one here for July 16th. Again, Taylor's Invasion Bar for the Cowboy Reunion at 26045 Willow Creek Road. And then looks like September 3rd of 2022, Taylor's Invasion Bar, the Landry Wedding Reception at 85 Bethel Road. Taylor's Invasion Bar for September 10th of 2022 at the Losey Wedding Reception at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. Looks like May 21st, Southside Grill for the Forever Western Street Bowls at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. And that looks like the last of them. So, Madam Clerk, have all the appropriate fees been paid?
Chairman Botany, yes, they have.
Everyone is current with the Liquor Division?
Yes, sir.
Right. Is there a motion to approve all of the catering permits?
So moved.
There is a motion. I'll go ahead and second that. All those in favor of approving the catering permits, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next on the agenda are the vouchers. The clerk added Verizon Wireless for $40.01 and Johnson County Aviation for $148.38. Does that sound like all the additions to what?
Yes, and the total that's on that last page is $258 something or another.
$419.66.
Yes, okay. That is the total.
Okay. I had a chance to go through these last night. Commissioner Greeno, I believe you had a chance to go through. Were there any vouchers that you'd like to pull or have questions about?
There are none.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the vouchers in the amount of $258,419.67?
So moved.
It's been moved. I'll second that. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the vouchers, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Have an executive session pertaining to current litigation, but before that, we'll go ahead and take public comment.
Commissioners, John Mattis here. I was just wondering, with the recent census, if there was a need to look at the precincts and do any realignment of the current precincts.
I will go ahead and county clerk on that who draws those maps?
We did not make any changes. You will see that in 4 and 7 and 4 and 8, there is an additional precinct man and woman that will be up for election. And I think 3 and 1 is the other one. We had 3 changes. They went over the 250.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any additional public comment?
I got one for you.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick update on 4-H stuff. I guess I'll start with enrollment numbers. 307, kind of a cool number. 307 is our enrollment, and of course in the 307 state, it's kind of cool. But an update for us is our state contests happen year-round. You know, when we think FFA, they have a state convention in the spring and then state fair at the end of summer. We have state fair, we have state meets and wool, we have state 100 different contests that we do through the year. We just got back from state meets and wool, so I wanted to kind of give you guys a quick recap of that. We took a senior team down and an individual intermediate. Our senior team was consisting of Lane Bowden, Lance Rabel, and Emma Perringer. Lance ended up fourth in the rail overall in the state. Emma was 10th in placings overall in the state. Lane Bowden was 11th in the rail and 11th in placings, and that team ended up 5th place. In that senior contest alone, there was 53 kids, so we're pretty excited to break top 5 there. And then our individual that went down as intermediate was 1st in the rail, 3rd in placings, 3rd in questions, and reserve state champion. So just kind of a fun fact that Johnson County Wool kids ended up being reserve state champs down there. So just a quick highlight on 4-H of our recent state accomplishments. So
that is fantastic. And do you want to share any updates about your shooting sports project, or save that for another day?
Yeah, I can touch on that as well. So shooting sports, we're working, as you know, we work with Buffalo Trap and Skeet Club as a facility. We use their range to go shoot there every Thursday. We faced a battle of scheduling, and specifically through the winter months. As you know, the community building at the fairgrounds is kind of a popular place because it's a heated indoor facility. And so Buffalo Trap and Skeet Club had the idea of building a storage-type/indoor-usable facility, just a building with a concrete slab out there at the Trap and Skeet Club. 4-H decided that was a good thing and wanted to jump on board. A, it'll limit our use of a trailer or hauling stuff back and forth, so it'll, A, solve a storage issue for us. B, it'll give us a place to house ammunition and guns and do that safely, and maybe have them not housed in our office where we have, you know, access to them year-round. It'll be out there where it's located. And then B, it'll give us more security of using a facility, because we can work with those guys and dedicate that every week. And I guess the way we're going about that is we're going to partner with them. We actually secured a commissioner's tag through Pete Doobie, which was very, very fortunate for us, and that sold for $24,500. And so 4-H has done that to help offset their costs. Our shooting sports program has a grant, a match with the Midway Foundation. And in that foundation, we do a lot of great things, starting off to build the account, and then every year we earn an interest on it. And we're dedicating our interest earned this year to that project as well, which is another $5,300. So at least $31,000 of that right now is coming solely from 4-H and funding. And so we think it's going to be a good partnership, because we're kind of a county entity, because we work with you guys, but that's a city-owned facility. So it's going to be kind of a neat, kind of a three-way partnership on that facility. A, it'll improve their grounds and make it better for them, but B, like I said, storage and then a facility for us, so it's going to be a great partnership.
So, Bryce, then with the $10,000 that the commissioners awarded towards the project through 1% 2 weeks ago, how close are you guys to realizing getting this done?
So, yeah, we're applying for grants right now, trying to get the initial funding. With materials, it's kind of crazy right now. Just for a tin-type building with a heater and a concrete slab, I remember Jim Dawson has been getting some quotes on it, and for the building without the concrete alone is $150,000. So we're on our way to building those funds and then making it happen. So, but we're looking at it. We want it to be in effect prior to our indoor season, which typically starts in February. So we have a little bit of time to try to get everything put together. So
if members of the community wanted to donate towards this effort, where would they send those funds, or how could they get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. They can stop in at the Extension office. Johns County 4-H Council would be happy to transfer those funds because they oversee our shooting sports program funds as well. So they'd be, if you wanted to stop in and visit with us, or Buffalo Trap and Skeet Club as well. Like I said, those guys do a lot of great, great things for us, and they provide all the targets and of course, the facility out there. So costs for us are drastically reduced, so any way that we can support them would be great. So if folks want to stop in, they either A, support them just for their year-round projects that they do, or B, for specifically that building, either way, we'd be appreciated. So.
Any questions for Bryce before he sits back down? Well, we appreciate all you do for our kids. It's a great program, near and dear to my heart. So. Any further public comment? Public comment. We'll go ahead and close public comment, and I would entertain a motion pursuant to the Wyoming statute covering executive session for pending litigation to enter into executive session.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We will adjourn the regular meeting and move into executive session. Thank you, everybody, for coming.